Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information. Hi, Dusty.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm finally, I think, recovered from our week away.
It was more like a week and a half.
You're right. It was more like
was
a week and
like
a half.
It was like 10 days away.
It was.
Actually.
And I feel like we hiked our little hearts out. And
we also
indulged in all of the different breweries we could find.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To recap, I mean, we went to Colorado and dipped into Utah.
Yeah.
We went to Rocky Mountain National Park, Black Canyon of the Gunnison mm-hmm. National Park.
Capitol Reef National Park.
And then we came back and did Mesa Verde mm-hmm. National Park and then the Great Sand Dunes mm-hmm. National Park.
I guess you're Colorado and I'm Utah.
Yeah, there
yeah.
we go.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I'll take it.
But on today's Trail Mix, it's all about trail hacks.
Yeah.
Things that we learned on this trip specifically.
Yes.
Mike, start us off with the first trail hack.
So I think one of the biggest things that we've learned over our course of our travels together is that when you are hiking, at the end of the day, when you get back to the car, one of the nicest things to have at the ready is a pair of sneakers and an extra pair of like clean socks to change into.
Oh my God, it's like heaven.
I think that you were the one that first initiated that. I feel like you had sneakers at one point in the car just because like basically the car becomes like a rolling suitcase for us.
Absolutely.
Which actually is probably another good thing that we could tack on to this trail hack. It's like just bring as much as you can in the car because you actually never know what you're going to need. Like I'm not saying bring your whole bag, but have a variety of options so that if you need to make a quick change, you can make a quick change once you're back at the car after you've hiked something. But the sneakers and the socks were like the biggest thing. And you have a really nice bag that I'm often very jealous of because mm-hmm. it fits a lot of things, specifically your hiking boots. So you always fly in sneakers and I often fly in my boots because I don't have that luxury.
That's right. Because we often, like, you know, if we're going to like a significantly far away place and we have a time crunch, we'll often fly to that place. And then you wear your sneakers on the plane.
No, so I wear my hiking boots.
Yeah,
on
that's
the plane.
What I mean. You wear your hiking boots mm-hmm. on the plane so that you don't have to pack them and they don't add mm-hmm. to your carry-on bag. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, the bag that I have is by Deuter and I love it. And there is literally a zip pouch at the bottom that I think is perfect for hiking boots.
Oh, it is. It's totally perfect for hiking boots. Yeah.
And on the way back, actually, I put your hiking boots in there too.
Because you were kind enough so I could wear sneakers on the plane.
Yeah.
Because it gets uncomfortable like to be on a flight
and
like that.
After spending a week in them. I don't know, down a 2,000-foot canyon back up, it's worth
wearing
them
sneakers.
Together.
being able to pack a pair of sneakers or being able to pack a second pair of shoes, I feel like the first trip we took, I just brought my hiking boots. And
yeah,
you were like,
you did.
No, girl, I got sneakers on sneakers.
I do. I love bringing them with me. We call them from Mississippi tennis shoes.
Yeah.
So I had two additional pair of tennis shoes. I had this sort of like fabric pair of little sneakers that I had bought online, and then I had this pair of New Balances.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, being able to finish a hiking day, go back to the car, take off the boots and the socks and put on a new pair of socks and a new pair of shoes or a different feeling pair of shoes
mm-hmm.
that are super comfy was just perfect. And I also made sure that this is a second hack, that because of that reason, I never wore my sneakers like out on a trail.
Right.
Because I didn't want to dirty them. I wanted them to like just be like what I go to when I return to the car.
Right.
And I actually had like certain clothes that I never wore out on the trail so I could return to the car.
That's true.
Take off what I had worn and put like, I did that all week. Like, you know, they were dirty by the end of the week, obviously. But being able to put, you know, clothes on that didn't see the wilderness was kind of nice.
Yeah, no, I think that was something that I kind of did as well. I followed your lead there, too. I do find that, like, the availability of also keeping your hiking boots in the car means that, like, you're not tramping them into somebody's Airbnb house, because that's what we often do. We stay in Airbnbs, at least this entire time. We were at Airbnbs, so it was nice to not have to like take your boots off when you walked in, because our shoes were clean and we were just like using them to drive or using them to like walk around whatever town we were getting dinner in. So yeah, sneakers and socks was a good quick change at the end of our trip. What do you have as a hack?
Well, this is a shout out to my mother, because she is the one who advocates for this. She ran a half marathon a few years ago and sort of lived on these. And then I have adopted it into my life ever since, which is icy hot patches. I just live for the icy hot patches, but I actually use this brand called Salon Paws.
Is it like a generic off brand?
Kind of, yeah. And I think it works a little bit better. Salon Paws patches, I like, if there's literally any part of my body that like is sore, I will put a patch on at the start of the day and then I will leave it on all day. I mean, eventually it'll probably like just sort of like twist itself off of you at some point. Like,
yeah, that's what happened to the one you gave me.
Underneath your clothes, but whatever, the medicine will stay in there.
Mm-hmm.
I had put them on my ankles, which actually weren't in pain, but I knew we were doing a hike that would potentially hurt ankles.
Right.
So I put them there, but they were about an hour into that hike on fire. So I had to stop, take my boots off in the middle of this hike, take off the patches and put my boots back on,
mm-hmm.
which took some time, but whatever. But I do love those. What is another hack we learned on this trip?
So something that was like really important for us was plastic bags. And plastic bags are something I always travel with. So I'm talking about like a food store bag. It's something that you can, in your main bag, your main luggage, like, oh, here's all my dirty clothes. Like, I'm just going to throw my dirty clothes in here so it's not mingling with my other clothing.
Right.
On a trail, it's like, oh, I have a plastic bag for the banana peel that I have that I'm not just going to leave on the ground because the whole object is leave no trace, basically.
Right. Yes.
And we don't want to like disrupt the wildlife there or get them used to human food. But this time, plastic bags came in handy for a whole another host of reasons. And that was because when we were hiking in the Grand Lake section, we were snowshoe
hiking of Rocky Mountain National Park.
Whoa, we both said that funny. But anyway, when we were hiking in that section, we were snowshoe hiking, and that's something that neither of us had done before. You'll hear more about it on that episode. But our shoes, our hiking boots, which are waterproof, were soaked through because the snow was just, you know, undoubtedly finding a way in, because as the snowshoe was kind of flicking upward, it was flicking snow into the back of our boots.
Yes, and also like going deep
and also like
into
falling
snow,
into the snow sometimes.
That also required, you know, not, it also made our shoes just super wet.
Right.
And not then the, it also yeah, made our socks wet.
Yeah. So we ended that first day of our very first day of hiking on this trip with boots that were soaked through. Now, our Airbnb had a blow dryer,
yes,
which
so we had to blow dry them.
I spent some time doing.
That was the process. Because,
it was a process.
That blow dryer would get overheated if it sort of felt like it was...
If the hot air was blowing back at it.
The hot air was blowing back at it.
And basically blowing hot air into a boot just makes it just blow right
return,
back.
Return, right. But the following day, we were like, you know what? We are not going to have wet feet again. So what we did is we put our socks on. Then we wrapped our feet with plastic bags, mm-hmm. then put our feet into the boots. Now, a lot of people are thinking, oh my God, you'll probably make a sweat box for your feet.
And boy, howdy. And
you know what? It happened. Yep. And it is what it is. But mm-hmm. our feet were not wet.
Right. Our feet were not wet.
Not from outside sources.
No.
Just our own feet. feet sweat.
Just our own feet sweat. Yeah. So it was definitely a little bit of a stinky mess at the end of it all, but it did
was worth it.
Make it worth it. And then basically the end of that day, I think despite the fact that they were wet and even though we had blow drying and they were still a little wet, the following day of hiking, they were pretty dry. Like I was able to put my sock in and not have an issue there. So that was like a really important kind of you moment again. Exactly. These are all just making you look really good.
Because, oh, please.
Yeah.
Well, I was
shine that light on you.
On our first hiking day, I got so frustrated because it was the first time I was trying out wearing tights while hiking, which a lot of people do. And I've seen it and I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. And I have all these running tights that I used to wear when I would run long distance. And I was like, I really want to recycle these and see if, because I'm not like wearing them as pants in my real life.
Oh, really? You don't wear your hiking or running tights out in the world?
As pants.
Teaching.
And I just have a really oversized shirt that I wear on top.
And you have the leg warmers
and
at the bottom.
And I have like a really big like set of sunglasses and a sun hat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah. Sounds like the 80s just exploded all over you.
So obviously the tights are tight around your ankle. You put your foot in the shoe and then the snowshoe was like flicking snow inside of the boot. And that was just making me crazy. And so finally I took my buff off and I wrapped my buff around the seam of my shoe, where the top of my boot, and that prevented it from getting in there. And then you were kind enough to give me your buff as well, and I wrapped it around, and that did really fix everything.
Yeah.
So that's another hack. But that is how I would wrap my shoes so that snow did not get inside. Another trail hack was we discovered some fun things about layering clothing this time. Prior to this trip, I went to our favorite place, Sierra Trading Company, who's not an official sponsor.
Yeah.
But Sierra Trading Company, we love you guys. And I found this trail vest and I was like, oh, this could be fun. Because the thing about clothing on hikes, especially if you're, you know, I feel like everybody would want to bring their phone with them, one, for safety, and two, to take photographs. Mm-hmm. And I know I get really nervous if my phone is in a pocket that does not zip closed.
Right.
So I exclusively buy clothing that has zip pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have a zipper fetish.
I do have a zipper fetish because I want that phone safe.
Right.
I mean,
you're definitely not Amish, that's for sure.
So the
only buttons for them.
The vest that I found was this like black vest that zipped down the center, but also had two zip pockets on the sides. And I could put my phone there. The other great thing about that vest was like, it wasn't like it kept me warm a little bit. Mm-hmm. So like I would have a shirt, then that vest,
or sometimes not at all,
then a jacket. And then if it got hot, I could like either take the vest off or I could just take the shirt off and wear just the vest. Mm-hmm.
It was like a Chippendales routine, folks.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would always play, you know, the music, you know, like Olivia Newton-John's Let's Get Physical. Yep. Whenever I would change. But yeah, what is our next trail hack, Mike?
So this is something that I got for Dusty this year for Christmas, and I thought it would be really good for us to have. So we have recently started to do more live episodes, and a live episode is really when we're recording out on the trail. Sometimes it happens that we are recording that live episode and then we'll post that episode like thereafter,
pretty immediately.
But we actually did a live episode that will be posted pretty late, or much later than when we hiked
from Black Canyon at the Gunnison.
But
try to like sort of organize you know, the episodes and the journey through these national parks in a way that feels like it makes sense. So Black Canyon at the Gunnison is coming, and when it does, there will be a live episode.
Right. So one thing that kind of was something that I was very aware of is that when we did our live episode in Smoky Mountains, Dusty's battery died pretty quickly, just because we did a lot of recording on that episode and we were also taking a lot of photos. And same thing with my phone. My phone's a little older. It's, you know, I'm not living that 5C life anymore, but you know, it is beyond. I did. And I got a lot of heat for that. But it's, you know, I should get an upgrade. Anyway, the battery doesn't last as long. So one thing that I was looking for Christmas for Dusty, and then something that the both of us could use while we're out hiking, is a solar phone charger. So it is something that, like, if we were hiking, we could definitely use. If we were stopping and we needed to get a little bit of a boost on our phone, we could always, like, when we were sitting for lunch or sitting to snack, just let that sit out and kind of like absorb a little bit. But I think you also had charged it. You pre-charged it, right? Because it is a battery that holds the charge.
There is a battery that holds the charge and you can pre-charge it. Mm-hmm. And then, you just need to take it out of the bag so it absorbs the sunlight.
Right.
And so, yeah, and then you can charge your phone from there.
And it also had a compass and did it have a flashlight on it too?
It had both.
It had both. Mm-hmm. And like on top of that too, I think so that was like a Christmas gift. And I was like, I'm just going to just keep buying trail stuff for Dusty because it's hard. I mean, we've known each other for a long time. So now it's just like, what do we get one another?
Sure.
You know? And so you have to get creative sometimes. So I got this like paracord bracelet, mm-hmm. which we brought too, that has a compass. It has a flashlight. It had a whistle. It had a knife. So that was like a nice little, like almost like Swiss Army bracelet that was helpful or could be potentially helpful.
Right.
We definitely didn't use it as much.
We never ended up using the compass.
Right.
We almost did, because there was a trail in Black Canyon Gunnison where we got lost.
Right.
And so we almost needed that compass.
Right.
But luckily we ended up finding our way. Mm-hmm. The next trail hack that I wanted to mention is, speaking of that long hike we did at Black Canyon, mm-hmm. We were going to be on a hike that was going to be at least 6 hours long. And on a day like that, like, you know, we both have 3-liter bladders that we carry with us in our hiking bags. I was a little concerned that we would run out of water. But what you can do is fill up that water bladder. And then in addition, any additional bottles like of Diet Coke, for instance, that you might have, you know, had are empty, mm-hmm. you can fill those up with mm-hmm. water. Also put those in your bags. Yeah, you're going to end up with a heavy bag, but then you are less likely to run out of water.
And then them shoulder exercises.
And then them shoulder exercises. Exactly.
Right.
You're fierce popping all them shoulders.
Fierce exactly. popping shoulders.
Often this time on this trip, we would have a full bladder plus at least 2 other bottles of water each in our bags. And this also is a nice fun hack for the plane ride on the way back, mm-hmm. which is you cannot take water through TSA, but you can fill up something like you can fill up an empty container with water once you are through TSA to get onto the flight. So you could go through with an empty water bladder, then fill up your water bladder, and then you have water for the entire flight.
Right. And then you can just get up to pee the whole time on the plane. So just make sure you got that aisle seat life, living that aisle seat life.
The whole time.
Right.
What else is a good trail hack to have, Mike?
So I think this is something, too, that we recognized we should be more conscientious of in the future. And something that we have definitely been eyeballing on our last 2 trips. And that is keeping some sort of toilet paper or paper towel or some sort of napkin in the car and in your bag, because you never know when nature might call.
And also, saving the grandmother thing that all of our grandmothers taught us to do, which is save the napkins that they give you anywhere. But yeah, anytime, you know, if say you have a McDonald's breakfast, saving the napkins from that breakfast.
Because you might need those napkins again in 8 hours.
You might need them again in 8 hours.
Because of McDonald's.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, I think this is something that it's versatile to have that. It's something that we haven't done. I think we've talked about it. Like, I think there was one time, I'm just going to like call myself out, where I was like, I definitely was like, I could, you know, definitely have a need for a bathroom, and there was no bathroom around. And what are we to do? There was a hike that I took when I was hiking to Machu Picchu, when I was in Peru, and I definitely ran into some stomach issues, and we were not near any sort of bathroom. And I did have like toilet paper and napkins with me. And thank God for that, because what was I to do if I didn't?
What were you
what
to
was
do?
I to do?
I think of that sign that we saw in Yosemite that said, you know, if you're going to do it, don't do it like within like 20 feet of a water source.
Oh, yeah.
Like go further away, dig a hole into the ground, do it, and then cover it up.
Right. Because sometimes, unfortunately, especially when you're on a long hike, even though you may have given the old college try before you've left, sometimes, you know, our bodies just betray us.
We call it working on your early morning physical shitness.
Mm-hmm. So. Actually, yeah, let's talk about physical shitness as a hack, because I think that is an important hack.
Yes.
So tell me what physical shitness is in your own words.
In my own words, that is when you wake up in the morning and mm-hmm. then you go have a bowel movement.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like so profound that you feel like, oh, well, I've just already lost weight, so I don't need to go to the gym today.
Yeah.
That is what I call working on your physical shitness. Mm-hmm. Even though, yes, we, you know, exercise regularly, everybody, obviously.
And then it may improve
you know
your
that
physical
feeling,
shitness.
And then you, right, exactly.
Right.
What is it in your own words?
In my own words, it's like making sure you dump out before you're on the trail.
There you go. Literally.
So I mean, that way you don't run into the issue where you need toilet paper because you're on a 6 mile hike or a 6 hour hike.
Right.
Because Lord knows the bathroom is going to call.
It will. And, yeah. And you know what I have to say is that Rocky Mountain National Park had some of the most lovely like pit toilets. Like all of my pit toilet experiences were really beautiful.
I think you're going to backpedal that because
why?
I think you're thinking that it was actually Black Canyon. Because
oh,
I did
it
not
Black
see.
Canyon?
I'm going to call you out, Rocky Mountain. Because
oh.
you were like, with
oh,
the
that's right.
dearth
they didn't
of bathrooms.
Have, they did not have bathrooms
there was
at
like,
Rocky Mountain.
There
that's
were
right.
like, you had to go back to the visitor center.
Like
there
every
like,
time.
There were so many trails that we've been on that, like, oh, here's a pit toilet or here's a toilet with plumbing. Like
Black Canyon at the Gunnison had lovely bathrooms.
Right.
Lovely pit toilet
right.
experiences.
You know,
that's what it was.
As lovely as a pit toilet can be.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or
right.
the pit
right.
toilet.
Exactly.
but yeah, I mean, I do find, I found that to be a little interesting because I feel like most hikes we'd been to, even if the bathroom happened to be closed because we were off season, like in that part of the park, I'm like, oh, at least there's a bathroom at this park and this trailhead. But Rocky Mountain was like, oh no, go to the visitor center and use
no
the bathroom.
Bathrooms
no
for you.
Bathrooms for you. And Rocky Mountain's a
well,
big
we
national
saw
park.
Some over on the like Grand Lake side. I saw one on
at
the Grand
Green Mountain.
Lake.
Was no, that
no,
wasn't even
the Colorado River Trail.
Oh, that's right. There was
just
one right
the
there.
The one there.
Yeah. You're
that's
right.
It. Other
yeah.
than that, no.
Yeah, no bathrooms for you.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for gays listeners. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our Moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use Moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
And I think the last thing, the last hack that I want to say is like, you and I are both sort of like
crazy people,
crazy, like, fully committed kind of, we go
type A,
we arrive, we hit the ground running and we just like go and go and go and go and go. And we don't stop when it comes to like, because we love hiking, we love walking, we love, you know, being outside, we love all of those things. And
right. And we also try to, you know, optimize our vacation time as best we can.
Right. And so we are often trying to say like, okay, well, we can get up early and we can do this one hike and then we can like eat a sandwich and then we can run to the other end of the park and we can do this other hike and that's going to take us 4 hours and then we can come back and on our way out, we'll do this other hike, right? So
that's all me Libra scheduling, by the way.
That's you Libra scheduling and me Capricorn thinking about, you know, like the organization of where things are in the right. park and what makes most sense. But we did something this time, which was, I'm glad we prioritized,
right.
which was one, giving ourselves a little bit of a break sometimes. Mm-hmm. And also like finding like we found a lovely hot springs to go to one night in Colorado that was really lovely. And then there was another one we found on another day, like, and our bodies really loved the respite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one thing that this is the first time where we really have done this for ourselves, where we did take the time to be a little kinder to ourselves and to not run at a breakneck pace. And I really think that for you and I, our trip to Smoky Mountains this past November was like a big wake-up call there, where it was like, oh, we just drove 12 hours through the night. Okay. And now we're going to hike 2 days. Okay. And now we have to drive 12 hours back through the night to get home.
Right.
So I think we kind of have recognized that we can't continue to operate at that pace because
as we
near our 85th year on this planet,
exactly,
our bodies just aren't up for it anymore.
No.
So,
because yeah. you know what? We're not 26 years old anymore. We're 27.
Yeah. We're 27.
That is a Trixie Mattel joke. Mm-hmm. I cannot take credit for that joke.
So yeah, no, I think taking like a day or taking it 2 days, like we did it in the middle of the trip and we did it actually at the end of the trip, and finding something that you can like reward your body with that, you know, is going to like make your body feel less sore or good.
Something we have not explored, but also like the reward of sleeping in.
Right.
We did not do that this time, but one could. That is one simple way to do
that's
that.
That's an easy, like, free way to do it.
Hot springs are not nearby or anything like that.
Right.
Sleeping in, taking it easy. We're going to end this trail mix with a game. It's a weird one. It's called Three Dates. In this game, you have to choose among a pool of people who you would choose as a wedding date, who you would go on a blind date with, and who you would bring to a funeral as a date.
And today we have to pick from the Avengers.
Okay, so I would choose as my wedding date, mm-hmm. Chris Evans, mm-hmm. Because...
he was my choice, too.
He was your choice, because in every interview I've ever watched with him, he just talks
he
about
looks gorgeous.
How much he loves dancing, too. So there's that.
Yeah.
The blind date, it would be Paul Rudd, because, I mean, he's the dreamiest. Mm-hmm. And then for a funeral date, I would want someone... who is just going to be a pillar of strength the whole time, mm-hmm. while I am just a weepy sobby mess. And for that, I'm going to choose Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, you went with a lady.
I went with a lady.
I was thinking about a lady
too.
She
is just like, to me, she just is like the embodiment of security. Mm. Like when you look at her, you're like, you know exactly who you are and what you do well. And like, I just want to like, I want an ounce of that. Mm-hmm. So there we go.
Okay. So my wedding date is the same. It was, you know, hottie Chris Evans.
Hottie Chris Evans.
Hottie Chris Evans. I think my blind date would actually be Chris Pratt, because I feel like he would be a good time and like a good laugh. Like, I feel like he is someone that would be funny and like keep me entertained on a blind date and make mm-hmm. me feel a little less nervous about that blind date.
The gay internet may like... you know, I may have canceled him. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. For he and...
Anna Faris?
No. He and...
Catherine Schwarzenegger?
No. No. He and Juno. What's her name?
Ellen Page.
Ellen Page had a tiff.
Oh.
And he responded in a very sort of like toxic masculine way.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, these
developments.
Are things, things I didn't know.
The gay internet was not happy with him.
Will this come up on my blind date?
It might.
It might. And then I think a good funeral date, Paul Rudd was also in my canon there.
Yeah.
I think he would be a good funeral date because I feel like he would be able to keep me cheery and entertained. And also he's just forever young, so he's never going to die.
Never.
So he will be amused by going to a funeral because he just won't understand what it is because he's discovered the fountain of eternal youth.
This has been Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. And if you have any questions or tips about trails, you can email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.